Celebrating International Women's Day, right across New South Wales, you're on ABC Radio.
Well, we've just heard from a group of young women who are all guns blazing, ready to go out and change the world. So now let's speak to some women who've been changing it already and have been making their way in a world where some of the old challenges for women in the workplace are still there, while others are disappearing. Data released last month from the Workplace Gender Equality Agency shows that women have 14.1% of chair positions and 26.8% of directorships in Australia. They represent 17.1% of chief executives and 31.5% of key management personnel. So, you know, still got a way to go, but there are many women who are making it to the top of traditionally male-dominated industries and paving the way for others to break down the barriers. Now, joining me now, we've got Professor Veena Sahajwala, who's a professor in engineering from the University of New South Wales. She heads the Circular Economy Innovation Network and also founded the University of New South Wales Sustainable Materials Research and Technology Smart Centre. Hello, Veena.
Hello.
Courtney Smith is the Chief Financial Officer, Property Australia at Lendlease. Hello, Courtney.
Hi, Suzanne.
And well, it's not quite the boardroom, but on the phone we've got free-range egg farmer Anna Lashbrook in Junee. And Anna, you're definitely the boss at your place, aren't you?
Well, I've got about 800 other women that I work with, so I suppose so.
You mean the chickens, don't you?
Yeah, I do mean the chickens.
Now, Veena, let's start with you. Engineering has traditionally been seen as a pretty male-dominated industry. How hard has it been for you to get where you are swimming against that tide?
Yeah, no, it's an interesting point, Suzanne. I mean, you can look at the stats and, you know, kind of feel a bit sort of down on yourself and go, oh my gosh, we still have a long way to go. But I think if you actually look at, you know, the incredible changes that have happened in the world of engineering, where there are so many incredibly amazing women coming through and emerging out as leaders, and really kind of, you know, we listen to their voices. And I think that's so important that, you know, women who are coming through the ranks are actually, you know, speaking out, talking about how they've made a difference. So their voices are actually becoming much more normalized. And I think to me, that's the critical element. Then how do you actually make it so that when people think about engineers, they actually also think about voices of women, just like they think about voices of men. And I think we're really seeing a lot of that happen. I was actually at a panel, listening in to some amazing women just on Friday at International Women's Day lunch hosted by Engineers Australia. And I think it was so inspiring to listen to these women on the panel. And so I think it's all happening. We can see young women being really bold and going out there and doing their thing.
I was talking to a female professor who's a neutron research scientist the other day, and she said that people do a double take when she tells them she's a professor. They say, oh, are you really? Do you get that kind of attitude as well?
Oh, look, of course. I mean, you do get that. And there's no question. I mean, I sort of will never forget the first time I presented, you know, my work on green steel out on the public sort of stage in Pittsburgh, you know, the steel city. And it was quite interesting where it was exactly this thing that you talk about, the double take. It was like, oh, okay, so you're a professor. And what are you talking about? Green steel, recycling rubber? Tires in process of making steel. And it was almost like it was too much to take. It was like, gosh, but okay, but this is really, this is all very good research, but really it's never going to work in the real world was sometimes, you know, that response that I'd get. And yeah, you do get sometimes that almost that shock value from people. And this is sometimes a response you get. But look, you know, fast forward a decade, this green steel technology is now working commercially across the world. So
no one's saying that to you anymore?
I don't think so.
From saying, you rock, yeah. Look what you did. Yeah. Now, Courtney Smith, what about you? Finance has traditionally been seen as a pretty male-dominated field. Did you feel that as you've been progressing through your career?
I don't think so, Suzanne, actually. I guess I've worked for a great organisation. I've worked for Lendlease for 22 years, and through that time I've worked with some amazing people, and I guess I've had some amazing mentors and managers that have supported me in whatever I've wanted to do. And I think a lot of it comes down to attitude and approach and mindset. So if you set your mind to anything, I think you can actually truly believe that, truly achieve it. And so in that context, I haven't really felt like I've been impeded in any way as I found my way through the world, I guess.
Mm. Would you have changed organisations if you had found that? I mean, it sounds like you've been very lucky to wind up somewhere that has been really progressive.
Yeah, well, look, potentially. I guess it's hard to say because I haven't found myself in that situation. You know, in the 22 years I've been at Lendlease, I've had 10 different roles across four geographies, and I think having had all of those experiences, there's a pretty good chance I could have bumped into something that wasn't necessarily palatable, but absolutely no problem. Like, I've found my way through. Now, that notwithstanding, I look back on in hindsight at certain times in my career, and there's definitely challenges and changes that probably needed to happen, but they have happened. I think the workplace now in the last 20 years is extraordinarily different to what it was 20 years ago.
So you've seen a real shift in culture, haven't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, how open people are at work, flexible working particularly. I think technology has obviously been a big driver of change in the corporate world and across society generally, and I think that's opened up the workplace very differently. Flexible working wasn't heard of 20 years ago, and now that opens up because of the technology available to do that, and it allows women and particularly mothers and others to work very differently to what they might have otherwise been able to do.
And now Anna, who is a free-range egg farmer at Junee. Now, female farmers aren't rare, but you are a bit of a special case being the boss at your place, aren't you?
Oh, well, I don't really feel all that special, to be honest. I feel like it's more of a nothing really much to see here, to be honest. It's just what I've chosen to do with my life, and my family is very much involved, and it's very normal for them to see. But I do remember when I first started 7 years ago, I resigned from my nursing job and decided to start up this farming job. And I did get some, unpalatable comments from people around me, you know, that they would prefer if I kept nursing, and that would be more of an easy question for them to answer when people said, oh, what does your daughter do, or what does your, you know, friend do, that it's easier to say, oh, she's a nurse rather than a farmer, because they weren't prepared to answer those questions. But I do agree with some of the comments that have already been made about normalising these kind of things, that be able to see women doing these things, you know, that it is more of a balanced approach in all of these industries. But I also agree that it is a mindset. So I had plenty of, comments made to me, like I've just mentioned, that could have stopped me from working on what I've created. But I just didn't want to. It was just something I was interested in. I aligned myself with people that got it. And now it's gotten to a point where in my community and in the business world that it's just, oh, yeah, that's Anna doing what she does, and no one bats an eyelid, and no one asks, oh, you know, your husband must run it and you just must be the caretaker or stepping in. No, no one says those things anymore. And I think because slowly I haven't tolerated those things, that I've stood up and confronted things if they've come across from men and women. And I think it's just about, yeah, I believe it's possible that women and men can do anything, and that men and women both experience inequality for different things. Like when we're talking about flexibility in the workplace, for example, it's far more common for women to take that up, and it's far more difficult for men to take that up. So now I think we're actually seeing a swing with some things in the opposite direction. So I just don't think either of us have it easy in terms of gender. But I think all of these conversations are really important just to highlight, you know, the experiences of different people in different industries and how far we have to go for each other.
So, Anna, I think you mentioned your husband. So he's working in the business with you, is he?
No, he's full-time in our major centre, Wagga Wagga. So he's full-time there, and this is my full-time job. He's still my big cheerleader, a big supporter, and he has to, you know, at times say, oh, no, I'm just the delivery man today, or I'm, you know.
even though he doesn't even work, you know, he's got another full-time job, people still think he must be the force behind it sometimes.
Oh, yeah, like they did, definitely. That was very common. It used to drive me bananas. It really, really wound me up. Like, what is the go? And then I thought, no, just keep going. You know, what you're doing probably is a little bit unusual for some people, particularly in a rural area where, you know, majority of ag-related positions are held by men. But you know what? It's such a cool place to be because I feel so respected by everyone in my community, whether it be older people, younger people. Yeah, I don't have any hassles anymore. And I think because I personally believe in what I'm doing, I don't see it as I'm here to show it, you know, to show women, blah, blah, blah. I just do it because I love it. And I think when someone loves something, it's just, you know, it's inspiring or whatever. It's just like, oh, yeah, cool. I could do that, you know?
Vina?
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, I think Anna's hit the nail on the head there. You know, I mean, when you're really passionate about something, I think it's so important to have both your passion and knowledge, of course, for a particular area, really become the things that, you know, empower you. So, I mean, when you actually look at, you know, I mean, the example that Anna's just given, and I'm sure many, many other women can relate to that, when you're passionate and you know you've got the knowledge, you've got to actually kind of speak out and voice that and really kind of, you know, use it to inspire other people. And look, sometimes when inspiration doesn't work, use your knowledge and your, you know, your passion as basically sledgehammers to sort of break down any sort of things that that might be, you know, barriers that you might be facing. But I think that's so critical. You know, you do it and you show you can do it, but let your knowledge, you know, speak out.
Mm, but don't hide it under a bushel either.
Exactly. And I think so many times, you know, you hear about sort of young women's stories. I mean, examples of women who've sort of taken on, you know, leadership in a business. I mean, I know this particular woman in Sydney here, she's, you know, Sharon, she's taken on a sort of leadership of a recycling business. And it's just inspiring to listen to her. I mean, of course, you know, in a business world, you can always talk about, oh, well, it's all about profitability. But the fact that she can come in and talk about a holistic view and say, look, yes, it may be about profits, but it's also got to be about our people, our planet. And really what I want to do is I want to be able to, you know, make a difference through the decisions that I make in the business every day. So I think it's really inspiring to hear, you know, women who are, you know, taking on those leadership roles to actually starting to shift the way the conversation's actually evolving, which I guess is where STEM's headed. You know, it's about that holistic understanding.
Now, are you seeing more women interested in a STEM career now?
Yeah, look, absolutely. And I think that's partly because of the fact that what we're just saying here, that STEM is not just what people perceive it to be, you know, a couple of decades ago where it might have just been seen, okay, engineering, it's, you know, if it's just about the analytical thinking. Of course, analytics and the fundamental science is always going to be underpinning, you know, what you do in STEM. But I think, you know, basically surrounded with all of that are all the other human issues, right? So we care about our environment, we care about our people, we care about, you know, the impact that we want to actually make. So the fact that, you know, young women who are coming through are then looking at emerging leaders and women who are doing some incredibly amazing work in the overall field of, you know, STEM itself, I think to me that's important, that, you know, the way STEM is being perceived now is that it is so much more than just sort of thinking about it as a single dimensional sort of topic, but rather that multifaceted, you know, way of delivering impact. And I think to me that's what it is. That's what it's become, so much more human. And I think to me that's another important element, so that, you know, as a young person, you can actually have a conversation about STEM and talk to your family and friends and talk about in the context of, you know, what do I want to achieve and do in my life. And so STEM becomes a pathway to get there. And I think it's about that connectivity between what you might want to study, but also why you're doing it. You know, what do you actually want to do? What, again, you let your passion drive you. So it's got to be both about your heart and your head coming together, which I think is where, you know, the world of STEM and STEM industries are really, really changing. Mm-hmm.
So, Vina, what do you do to help young women who are coming through? Obviously, you're out there being a role model, but do you actively find ways to help younger women?
Oh, absolutely. And I think, you know, we all see that in our everyday lives, whether it is, you know, people who we might be mentoring or supervising at the workplace, or it could just be, you know, women who might sort of, you know, knock on your door and just, you know, ask for, you know, a coffee chat because they sort of want to just have a conversation with someone who is in a completely different field. And I think it's interesting, so many times you get, you know, women who actually are sort of thinking about all kinds of career pathways, but actually, again, going, no, wait a minute, you know, I'm really good at sport and I'm really good at my day job. You know, how do I take all these talents I have? And actually, I met a young woman for coffee on Friday. And it was interesting that she just loved the fact that she's got all these talents. She's obviously a fabulous communicator. She's already doing so well in her sort of areas of profession and her sport. But the fact that she was hungry to actually make an even bigger impact. So, you know, one of the things I said to her is I said, you know, find local schools and go and speak at local schools and talk about, you know, who you are and what you do. So I guess young women get to see that, you know, you might be interested in sport, but there is so much science even in sport, right? So sort of start to bring in what you're already doing, but see it from the lens of how STEM actually has such a big impact on our lives. And I think to me, that's the important thing that we can all do as both men and women should be doing, is inspiring young women to see that there are many different avenues to develop your career in STEM.
Our guests on ABC Radio Sydney and ABC New South Wales on this International Women's Day are Professor Veena Sahajwala, who's the Director of the Circular Economy Innovation Network at the University of New South Wales. We've got Courtney Smith, the Chief Financial Officer of Property Australia at Lendlease, and Anna Lashbrook, who's a free-range egg farmer from a Lashbrook Farm in Old Junee. Now, Courtney, you know, you've had a relatively, as you say, good run with your career, but you have looked around and had conversations with people where you've realised that opportunity leads to opportunity. And you've made, I think, an active decision to help other women by perhaps directing business their way. Tell me about that.
Well, I guess, I mean, sort of it dovetails into what Veena was just saying, and it's about, firstly, I think, awareness, understanding how decisions are made and how people make choices on who they might use to support activity or otherwise, whether it's advice or consultants work or anything like that. And then it comes to, if you know that something works in a certain way, then you understand how work is deployed to people. So if women and men are in a consulting environment and the filter to give them work works in a certain way, if you're aware of how that works, then you can be much more targeted about how you deploy your experience or you request their services. And I guess I mean in the construct of even filtering the use of legal firms and practices. So if I know that there's a list of barristers that I could use that are male and female, but I need to particularly ask that I want a female barrister, then I need to be able to make that decision and be aware of that. And I guess that's the point of that. And Veena and I were talking about it outside a little bit. It's about understanding what's going on behind the scenes so you can direct traffic to make different decisions to give that work to people that might not have otherwise gotten it.
All right. And because if people don't get that work, that shuts them out further down the track, doesn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. And I think the main point is they don't get the experience. Mm. So if women are sitting there and not getting the opportunity and the experience to build their resume and do things, then we'll be forever going to the same people to get that same information from them. So I think we've got to step out and take a different lead in certain places to be able to give people those experiences to be able to move them forward.
Courtney, I'm aware that you've played around a bit with recruitment processes at Lendlease to ensure that there would be gender equity. Why did you need to do that and what did you do?
I guess when you watch recruitment practices work, and they have evolved over the years, I think, you know, often people, a lot of places people were just given jobs or they were tapped on the shoulders for jobs. At Lendlease now we do run open recruitment processes for all roles, so it's not just go and have a coffee and you will get that role. In addition, we've now, and at my leadership team, and it's across Lendlease, we agree to 50-50 shortlists for all roles. and the recruitment panel for those roles are also 50-50 gender balanced to make sure there isn't any bias or unconscious bias in the room when we're making those decisions. I think it would be great to be able to hear and understand practices where there's gender neutral resumes floating around and you don't understand who that's a step further. We haven't quite taken that step at the moment. But I think just bringing balance into the recruitment process in its own right makes a big difference. And that's something we do across the organisation that helps us rebalance the workforce.
And have you noticed that really making a substantial change, those practices?
Yeah, I have. Particularly from a number of different perspectives, but particularly the women. Often women aren't comfortable in I'm having a chat about a job with you. So if they're more comfortable in a formal environment and the environment's set up that way, then they're quite likely to succeed more in that environment. So I've seen that kind of play out quite significantly, which I think is a positive thing.
So what do you mean when women aren't comfortable just having a casual chat about a job?
Well, I think the way I guess males and females approach conversations are quite different, and I think acknowledging that, and that's not necessarily gender-based, always, but most often, and guys are more comfortable having a chat with another guy about a job that might have opportunity for them. I don't see females being as open to that or as comfortable in that situation because they might not know that person, they might not know the background of that person, so they like it to be a little more neutralised, I guess, and more formal in the way they do it.
Mm. Now, I know, Vina, that you've noticed that young men still are traditionally more confident than young women, and so you really have to go out and make sure that women, who you know are going to be perfectly capable, are actually given the opportunity to do projects that they might not put their hands up for.
Yeah, look, absolutely, and that's such an important point because, I mean, we see it all the way from high school, you know, where we might have young women who will kind of be a bit reluctant and not in a way as forthcoming in terms of saying, yeah, look, I want to do this internship, I want to take this lead on this project or whatever. And we see that, you know, literally when I've had, you know, high school kids who are coming in from year 10, who come in, you know, they have that 1 week work experience and they'll come in and they'll sort of be very happy to not ask for, you know, specific tasks or activities. And I often will, whether it's a high school girl in year 10 or, again, a senior researcher in my group, it's about that conversation. It's kind of coming out of, you know, the point that Courtney was just making. Mm-hmm. I mean, if we actually see young women who've got the knowledge and the skills and you can see on their resume that they really have the capacity to take on that leadership role, it's about, you know, putting them forward and saying, right, okay, you know what, this is a great task. You'd be fabulous at it. Go for it. And again, in so many sort of conversations when we have with industry and businesses, it could well be that there is, you know, an emerging leader. And for her, this may well have been one of the first projects that she's about to lead. So she's a bit uncomfortable putting her hand up. But you're basically just saying, well, actually, this woman has got the knowledge. And by engaging her more in that conversation, she might actually suddenly, you realize, just take off, you know, because she's sort of explaining about her science, and then we sort of engage her further and go, you know, what methodology would you use? You know, how would you go about doing it? And before you know it, she's out there leading the conversation. And in fact, you know, being able to actually, you know, take on that charge, I think it's sometimes just a question of saying, right, you know, here is a fabulous project and really the opportunity is here for you to take, but not just kind of going, oh, well, you know, here she is and off you go. But really the conversation that enables everyone, you know, again, all of that is about creating a fabulous pipeline of talented young women starting all the way from school age, university and into their professional careers.
Mm. Now, Anna, let me just go back to you. Anna Lashbrook is our free range egg farmer at Junee. And this is something that the other women have mentioned, but I know technology is a huge game changer and it's a real game changer on the farm where brawn is no longer the most important attribute, is it?
Yeah, well, you see that not only in free-range egg farming, but in across all areas of agriculture, where, like I said, is the brawn is kind of phasing out and the technology is taking up a lot of those roles, which is really exciting for men and women and also older people as well, that they can continue doing what they love because they're no longer excluded because they may or may not be physically capable. And also it's a whole other area of ag and a lot of other industries that can include a lot of other people that have a different way of thinking. And that diversity is what I think we're all really striving for.
Anna, we are almost out of time, I'm afraid. I think we could have talked for quite a bit longer. I'd like to thank you all so much for being part of our International Women's Day weekend program this morning. Anna Lashbrook there with her 800 hens that she's the boss of. Thank you very much for joining us from Junee.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been a great opportunity.
Professor Veena Sahajwala, who is at the University of New South Wales, thank you.
Thank you.
And Courtney Smith, who's the Chief Financial Officer, Property Australia at Lendlease. Thanks so much for coming in, Courtney.
Thank you.